This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Welcome back to another Wine and Dine in LA. This is a show where I share with you all the insights of the wine industry that I learned throughout the years, and I also share my passion of food. I hope and wish that you all had a wonderful day today and you have a glass of wine and are going to sit down and enjoy our one-hour programming. In the first part, I would like to share with you a topic that interests all. We are going to talk today about health benefits of wine. And in the second part, I have an amazing guest who is a cooking instructor, and she is going to share about her business, how she got started, and how she can help, and how you can follow her. I'm super excited, and I hope you are too. So sit back, swirl your glass of red wine, and enjoy. So, wine health benefits. A disclosure, I am not a doctor. This information is taken from internet, but it has a lot of research behind it. So, yes, you can say that red wine is the healthiest of all alcoholic beverages. Red wine is rich in nutrients and chemical compounds, and drinking in moderation, scientists say, is responsible for quite few health perks. And that has been discovered back in 1819. An Irish physician by name Samuel Black has named the phenomenon, and he called it the French paradox. The French paradox refers to the observation that the French suffer a relatively low incidence of coronary heart disease despite having a diet relatively rich in saturated fats. If you think about French cuisine, there is the ducks, there is the cheeses, there is the all the sauces with lots of cream, with lots of butter. And of course, combining that and having it with wine worked perfect. And that's why they don't suffer so many of the heart diseases. Wine is much less on calories. Red wine contains, on average, 125 calories. White wine contains 120 calories, even less. So if you are a white wine drinker, you're consuming less calories. Beer, on the other hand, contains 154 calories. For cocktail lovers, gin and tonic is 170 calories. And now here is the big one. For those who love margaritas, and I do too, when I have tacos, I have to have margarita because they go just perfectly together. But drinking a glass of margarita, 10 ounces, well, I guess 10 ounces is too much, it's between 500 and 680 calories. So you're having a meal with another meal. But then again, I love a good margarita. The alcohol level, of course, wine has less alcohol. On average, it's 13% rather than hard liquors. And wine has a lot of antioxidants. Scientists have found that red wines have higher levels of phenols, antioxidants, and in general, the darker the wine, the higher antioxidant content. This is also true for blueberry juice, pomegranate juice, and any fruit that have dark blue or red skins. You can find those compounds in there too. One of my favorite health or one of the benefits of the wine is that it relieves the stress. The scientists have found that the resveratrol that you can find, a compound found in the red wine, helps you relax. And according to the scientists, they say that those compounds help relieve your stress in the brain. So after a long day if when you come home, you make this delicious dinner, serve yourself a glass of red wine, unwind. And also another benefit is that wine consumption at the dinner makes the conversations flow easier. You have lots of good conversation, you are in a good mood, you are ready to go to bed, and you are ready to conquer the next day. Very interesting health benefit, again, for the red wine is that it lowers your cholesterol. High-fiber Tempranillo, red grapes, and Tempranillo is a varietal that's very common to Spain. And this is a research from a Spanish university. So high-fiber Tempranillo red grapes, which are used to make certain red wines like Rioja, may actually have a significant effect on the cholesterol levels, according to a study from university in Spain. Healthy study participants who consumed the same grape supplement found in red wine saw their LDL, or bad cholesterol, levels decreased by 9% among healthy. Participants with high cholesterol experienced a drop of 12%. What is the big deal? Excess LDL ends up getting deposited in arterial walls and forming plaque, which causes arteries to stiffen and blood pressure to rise, ultimately leading to heart attacks. So a glass of Rioja will lower your cholesterol or any other red wine, according to the University of Madrid. Red wine also protects your heart. You lower your chances of having a heart attack or a stroke. On top of lowering bad cholesterol, polyphenols, the antioxidants in red wine, can help keep blood vessels flexible and reduce the risk of unwanted clotting, says John Foltz, PhD, a professor of cardiovascular medicine and nutrition at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Red wine protects against memory loss. Researchers from Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago found that moderate wine drinking lowered a person's risk of dementia by 23%. Scientists speculate that wine improves blood flow to the brain, which keeps it healthy and sharp. Listen to this one. The wine cuts down on the cavities. Red wine has antibacterial properties, which means fewer bacteria can attack your pearly whites. Red wine protects against certain cancers. Men who drink 4 to 7 glasses of wine a week can cut their risk of prostate cancer by half, researchers from University of Seattle found. And British researchers found that the resveratrol, the compound that was good for brains relieving stress. British researchers found that resveratrol in red wine could cut the risk of colon cancer by 50% as well. Drinking red wine will make you live longer. That's what Harvard scientists discovered, that resveratrol may be able to revive the cells that protect us from diseases, which tend to wind down as we get older. When researchers looked at the effects of resveratrol in mice, they found that the twice endurance of the lifespan as regular mice. How amazing is this resveratrol compound? The resveratrol compound can be also found in other foods like peanuts, blueberries, and cranberries. And for the last one, the red wine can control blood sugar. The skin of red grapes, a rich source of red wine, is a natural compound, going back to, again, resveratrol, may actually help diabetics regulate their blood sugar. I hope you enjoyed all these wine health benefits and found them interesting and maybe a little bit amusing. I am not a doctor, and please consult with your doctor before consuming wine if you are not supposed to. But if you are enjoying the wine, now you can enjoy it even more, knowing all those benefits that a glass of red wine can give you. For today's wine glossary, I have two words for you. I have word tannin, and I have word acidity. And acidity is one of the four fundamental traits of wine. Other ones are tannin, alcohol, and sugar. acidity gives the wine its tart and sour taste. So some people, when they try the red wine, they say it tastes sour. Wines that are made in Europe have more acidity. They are more sour. The wines that are made in United States, Australia, or South America, they have less acidity. But the wine has to be in balance. It needs to have enough acidity, enough sour taste, enough tannins, and etc. to balance it and to make it a good wine. The next word is word tannins. Tannins are a class of astringent polyphenolic biomolecules. Simply put, tannins are important descriptor for wine tasting, and it refers to dryness, bitterness, and astringency of the wine. It is most often associated with red wine. So red wines have more tannin. And to put it in different words, if you drink a very strong tea, the way that it fills in your mouth, it dries out your mouth, that's tannin. So today you learned two words, tannin and acid. This is all for my part on the wine. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to introduce you to my next guest. This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. I am so excited to introduce my guest today, Nicole Diani from Nicole's Kitchen LA, a cooking school for home cooks. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to talk to you today. I am a huge fan and a follower of your Instagram page. I can't wait to come and cook with you one day.
I'm so looking forward to cook with you, too, and welcome you in our kitchen.
Thank you. I would love for you to share your story today and what you do, and I'm sure our listeners are going to be also so excited to find all the information about you. So tell us, where are you from, your heritage?
Sure. So my whole family, my parents, from both sides, my father and mother, they were both born in Iran. And we are Jewish. My parents moved from Iran in 1978, right before the revolution. So I was born here in Los Angeles. And Farsi was my first language. So naturally, my culture and my heritage really is a big part of me and my personality. And I implement that in my work. And, you know, I have all different types of clients. Everyone is welcome. But I really try to implement the Iranian floral culture with color and the vibrant, you know, welcoming community.
So Iranians and Armenians have a lot of similarities in their culture, and food is a huge part of our culture. So was cooking always what you wanted to do, or did you study for it, or this is something that came later?
So actually, Armenian cuisine and Iranian cuisine are very similar, and actually 60% of my clients right now are about are Armenian. 60% are Armenian. So we love Armenians. I was studying at UCLA, and my plan was to go work for my father in real estate and finance. And I had no intent of going into the culinary field. I never got any kind of formal training. I didn't go to culinary school. But while I was studying at UCLA, since I really didn't like to study, I would come home and use my mom's leftover dinner ingredients. So usually it was Persian food. I would try to transform her Iranian food into something more modern, like French food, Italian food, Indian food. And I would use pantry items to mix and match her food or whatever I could find in the refrigerator. And my friends would come over for snack, and they started kind of giving me ratings. You know, like if you've ever watched like the Food Network channel,
absolutely,
or the cooking channel, kind of like Chopped. So people, you know, they would come over, 20, 30 people. We would all study together. I would cook. It was like a big party in the house all the time. And they went behind my back and they started an Instagram for me and a website by NicolesKitchenLA.com. So I was really like anti going into the culinary field because my parents were like, you know, there's no way that you could have a prestigious job, you know, being a cook. So you need to get higher education. This is why we moved to America, for you to, you know, get a master's, to get a PhD. And long story short, my friends started posting my work online and people started asking for inquiries for cooking classes and catering. And that's really how the door opened.
Wow. You have some amazing friends who saw the potential, and I'm glad they did. So then once you have decided to take a little different route from, you know, different career. You said that your parents wanted you to do master's and PhD. Are they okay with it now?
Yeah. You know, so I started this all when I was 19 and I'm 27 now. So in the beginning when I started, you know, when my friends started posting these pictures and I started getting inquiries, I had no idea that I was getting these messages. I started, you know, walking in the street and in my neighborhood, people started recognizing that I was the girl with the cooking. And amazing. Someone had said like, hey, I sent you an email. How come you don't answer? So I realized they had made an email for me and I started responding. I had 300, 400 emails after a few months. I started to let people know that as much as I would love to cook for them, my father has other plans for me. And here's a contact of another, you know, cooking school, another caterer, all the best. And so this continued for a few years of me just cooking online and people continuing the inquiries until there was this one lady that sent me an email after a few years and said, I got your whole story. Your father is not okay with you cooking for other people because it's not prestigious, it's not respectable. So how about you come to my house and you teach a cooking class as a form of charity like this? It'll be like a donation. So we'll all buy the tickets and the money will go to Children's Hospital for a good cause. So I knew that this would be the best way to give my dad Middle Eastern guilt. I gave him the Persian guilt. I read the email and he felt so awful. He said, of course we should donate. Let's do this cooking class if we can help children that are ill. And it kind of started from there. I taught my first class to strangers and my parents saw how much the community was growing via these cooking classes. And for charity, I worked 1 year, doing these cooking classes and I wasn't keeping a dollar. And, my parents came to terms with it after a few years. So yes, they are really fully in support now, and I would say that it's a family business now.
Awesome. So. That's amazing. I'm glad that they are happy and supportive of what you are doing right now, and they see and appreciate, because food ultimately is something that brings people together, food and wine. There is lots, it's a communal thing, so it is very important. You are doing a great job bringing the community together, reintroducing the traditional dishes. I'm sure a lot of people who are with Iranian background, they are not familiar with they are familiar with the recipes, but they have never made it. So having you there, a young and energetic, ambitious, and full of ideas person cooking all those dishes is very inspiring, I'm sure, for a lot of women.
Thank you so much. Yes. Well, also the people that I meet really give me a lot of inspiration and give me a lot of energy to continue doing this job because I'm sure, you know, you're also in wine industry. Service and food is very difficult. People are very particular with food and wine and how they eat and all that stuff. But I have to say that, like, the energy really, like, keeps me going, keeps me motivated, and it's so beautiful to create a community through food.
Amazing. Nicole, let's continue our conversation after the short break.